Reimagining Black Relations, a podcast on solutions to issues relating to the Black race. Welcome to another episode of Reimagining Black Relations. I'm your host, Dr. Francesca Fajimi. If you've ever had any dealings with Blacks, you have a Black Matter, so this is for you. Together, let's begin to shape and reimagine our Black relations. Whether you are Black, white, or brown, trust me, you will learn, gain, and execute just by listening. Come along.
We have two guests here today, Dr. Faron Epps, who was previously on the show, but we had to bring her back because she has so much to share with us. Dr. Epps is a nurse with over 20 years' experience creating culturally relevant programs to reduce health disparities for underserved populations. She's an associate professor and the director of community and research engagement in the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Emory University, Nell Hodgson Woodruff School of Nursing. She's a fellow in the American Academy of Nursing, Southern Gerontological Society, and Gerontological Society of America. Dr. Epps is the founder of ALTA Dementia, the only nurse-led dementia-friendly congregation program, and she oversees several psychoeducational and faith-based research projects. Dr. Epps's ultimate goal is to place culturally tailored evidence-based programs and interventions in the hands of those individuals who need them the most. Dr. Epps is here with Kara Alexander. Kara is currently a PhD candidate in nursing at Emory under the mentorship of Dr. Faron Epps. Kara's dissertation examines health literacy and medical discrimination in Black dementia caregivers and explores literacy as a factor of inequities among underserved communities. She works on a pilot improvement project at Emory Healthcare Custom Tailoring Clinicians' Education Materials to Better Suit Patients' Readability and Health Literacy. She's a subject matter expert in literacy and health literacy for the Atlanta Region Community Health Workforce Advancement Program and the Global Alzheimer's Platform Foundation. Kara is passionate about improving health literacy in the Black community and examining health literacy as an influential factor of disparities in the Black dementia caregiving experience. Farah and Kara, welcome to Reimagining Black Relations.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having us.
Hello. Thanks. I'm so glad to be back.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming back. Now, let me ask Kara. Kara, do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, where you grew up?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, specifically Inglewood. And then I moved to Atlanta to attend Spelman College. And I never left after graduating. It probably won't be moving back.
No way. How could you do that?
The price of living is just ridiculous there, as well as gas compared to Atlanta. So as well as I've established a community here, found love here, and I'm actually starting a family here. I'm 15 weeks pregnant. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow, amazing. You could never tell just looking at somebody's face what's going on.
Good.
Dr. Epps, do you mind telling us very briefly again about your background as well, where you were born?
Oh, I'm originally from New Orleans. And so I've been in the Atlanta area, I don't know, since 2016. So y'all can do the math. So I think it's what, between 7 to 8 years I've been here. And I'm excited. I did my formal education and training in Alabama at Tuskegee, then went back home and got my master's at Loyola and then my PhD in nursing at Southern. So I am a two times HBCU grad. So I just want to make sure I put that out there. So HBCU love and proud. But I'm glad to be here in Atlanta and working very closely with Kara as we really try our best to improve the quality of life for Black caregivers that are are currently supporting someone living with dementia, because that comes with so many challenges. So thank you, Kara, for being here. She's been one of my right hands since for about 6 years.
Yeah, about 6 years since I was getting my master's. That's when I met Dr. Ipps.
Amazing. Wow, that says a lot. Well, I think it says a lot about you, Kara, as well. And I'm sure Dr. Ipps sees a lot of value in what you do and what you bring into to the topic. So I'm really excited to hear more. Now, let me ask you about your findings on discrimination among Black caregivers. What exactly are you finding based on your research?
Kara actually led the paper. I'll give a little bit background and then Kara, you can go into it. But we after I was out in the community and I was hearing from Black caregivers that their experiences was a little bit different than just, I'm going to be honest, white caregivers. And so we wanted to develop a course that really speak to the unique experiences of being a caregiver, of being Black in America. And so we did some focus groups with Black caregivers just to hear from them on what is their experiences as a Black caregiver. And one of the biggest things that came out was the discrimination and the things that they face when they're interacting with the healthcare system. And I'll pass it on to Kara because she led the paper where we wrote about that falling in between the cracks.
Yeah, and so it's very interesting that some things that you do find, like poor provider interaction, health insurance is a big one. A lot of these challenges match other caregivers of different races and ethnicities. But one thing that's almost inevitable that you find that among Black caregivers, and this is aligns with some findings from the Alzheimer's Association, who found the same thing, is that race and culture makes those challenges even more difficult, from the way that they have their concerns brushed off. I remember from my own work, I was speaking to a caregiver, and he was saying that aside from the healthcare system, a lot of microaggressions from social workers, from support groups that maybe aren't, you know, majority of people there that look like him. And it makes things all the more challenging. It's kind of interesting because when you speak to them, they at first can be very hesitant by saying race and ethnicity. But then when they start talking about their experience, you kind of see that that's what it is. And between the caregiving while Black findings, as well as my own, that was the case. Another thing that's interesting, and I don't know if listeners have heard of the term, but intersectionality is huge, where not only is it their race and ethnicity, but something else, that further marginalizes them. For example, age. Between being a younger caregiver and maybe not getting the same level of respect or information from providers, as well as the age of the person living with dementia and the caregiver providing care, not fitting that quote unquote mold of the typical dementia patient. And so therefore, again, getting their concerns brushed off when we know that there is young onset and, you know, concerns should be taken just as, you know, seriously. So a lot of different avenues of race and discrimination in general. And then those additional factors aside from race and ethnicity, you know, making it more challenging for them.
Thank you for explaining that, Kara. And, you know, I'm also, you know, I want our listeners to know that we want to make sure that we bring light to this. Because many times this is being buried about these unique experiences and the intersectionality that Kara just brought up. Because when I engage with caregivers from the larger group, white caregivers, they don't see that. How could it be different? You know, they sometimes they can't see that. And they develop programs and they do certain things and they not just online programs, but even physical programs in areas where they're not even thinking about who can access this, right? They don't have equity in the forefront. And we want to make sure that we highlight this. And we want caregivers at the end of the day to be empowered and to speak up. You know, I spoke to a Black caregiver yesterday evening, and she is in the healthcare field, but she said the doctors just be like, oh, her mom's just getting old and that's it. And she said, I know my mama has some form of dementia. I've seen it. I know it. But they won't do anything about it because they say, oh, she's just getting old. And, you know, last night I told her, no, you know, you're not going to accept that. Here on out, you're going to be empowered and you're going to come with your notes and you're going to say, no, you cannot just say she's getting old. So for this caregiver that is being told no, and I say, when you ask for these things, and if this is not given to you, I want us all, and I want her to be okay, but all the listeners that are caregivers to be okay with changing providers. So many times we're like stuck. Well, this is who we've been with. But if you're not getting what you need, then please do seek out other providers, other ways to make sure that you can get further testing and to get the help that you need.
This is actually really interesting as I hear you both speak. Just because of the disenfranchisement of Black people in general, is it possible that they might even think this treatment is the norm across the board? Because in all facets of their life, you know, Black people experience different challenges in terms of, you know, racial disparities and things like that. But they may think that this is how it's supposed to be. This is just the normal thing. So what's there to complain about? How do they know it's not it? How can you describe it so that somebody that's listening know the indicators of what is not the norm, but they are experiencing on a daily basis?
It's kind of complicated. What do you think, Kara? You know,
I was going to say, that's a really interesting question. I think that as Black people, we already have to kind of put on this extra feeling of consciousness and awareness of our treatment in no matter which setting that we are in. And so I think that And again, this might be why many are hesitant to point out racial discrimination, because they just don't know. But I think that it's all in your own perspective. And so if you genuinely feel, particularly if you are dealing with a provider or any healthcare professional that is white, and, you know, you're having to feel like you have to advocate more, then I think that it's fair to say, I think it's all in your perception. And then you kind of go accordingly. I don't know, what would you say, Dr. Ebbs?
I agree, you know, and I know this is true because, you know, I think back to my grandmother, even my aunt, how they feel that this is just the way it is. So I know what you're saying is true. And, you know, even when I started doing this work, you know, they said, all right, now, you know, we don't do that. We don't do that research stuff. We don't get in there. You follow those white people, that's going, that's no good, you know, and that's the thinking. But it just took me to show them and to keep being persistent in telling them that things can change, things can be different. You don't have to take what is being told to you or how it traditionally has been. And I think, you know, just we as a people, we have to know that it is okay now to speak up. It is okay to want better. You know, it is okay, and we can get better. But I think that's holding us back as a people, because there's many of us that still feel that, no, this is it. Because my aunt still feels, even though she's like, okay, but then she'll go back and be like, nah, I'm going to just leave everything like it is. You know, if the doctor said this, that's just what it is. I'm going to let it be. And, you know, and that's not the case. That, you know, And I don't want that. Moving forward is 2023. And as we look into the future, I want us to say, no, this is what we want. And the only way that we know that we can know for it to be better and we can have different outcomes is first us being educated and learning. And it's not about going to formal education, getting formal education. It's listening to this podcast, listening to other things, going to community education events to gain that information for us to know, oh, okay. You know, I went to a Parkinson's event this weekend. I don't have Parkinson's in my family. Well, look, before Saturday, I didn't think I did. But, I went there because I can, so I can learn. You know, and so, and it's never too late for us to learn more.
Thank you both. If you think outside of everything you've seen so far, what do you think the root cause of this discrimination towards Black caregiver is? What is the root cause, or what are the root causes that you're seeing from your research?
No, and Kara, you can follow up behind me, but I don't know if we actually see the root cause. Yeah, I think the way we approach it with our research is it exists and we know it exists and we're just trying to address it. Honestly, we don't spend too much time into the root cause. Why are providers doing this, or why the system is like this? Because we know this is how the system is. And we're trying to just bring some solutions to it. Kara, what would you say?
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think that our work necessarily reveals those root causes. You come in already knowing just the general root cause, which is history and the historical impact of the healthcare system and how we even got here. And then you kind of just, you know, you let your research guide you in ways of how, I mean, because at the end of the day, there's nothing, I don't really see the system changing. And so even for my own work, you know, this, it sets the foundation to help caregivers be able to navigate this kind of healthcare setting that is plagued with discrimination as well as with caregiving while Black. So I think, you know, like I said, the, we know how we got here, but our work mostly focuses on how can we better navigate this setting. You know, that was part of the poor hands we were dealt due to hundreds and hundreds of years of history.
So how does this discrimination impact the caregivers themselves and their patients?
It makes things more challenging. It makes having the, I mean, you know, when I speak upon specifically health literacy or anything having to do with healthcare management in dementia care, that is a skill. Those are tasks that you have to be able to do in order to manage the healthcare of their loved one, which oftentimes, if they're in the middle to late stage of the disease process, they cannot manage it themselves. And so you're having to not only care for yourself, but also care for this other person. And so now you have this extra burden of, you know, this extra layer where it's discriminatory practices, or even just having the thought, maybe you, it didn't actually happen to you. Because I know, and we had a focus group and we were talking about, you know, experience of discrimination. And one of the caregivers said, I haven't per se had that experience, but I do a lot to make sure I don't. So when I go in, I have my questions already set. I have an agenda. I'm clean cut. And she's very well educated. And so she's coming in with a certain persona to where she is demanding respect. And it's very sad that we have to even have that mindset, because that's an extra burden. And it's an extra burden that I think that many white caregivers don't have to carry. And so a lot of that, you know, I don't want to say extraness, but a lot of that, you know, the extra step that they have to take, that is an extra burden on an already burdensome set of tasks. And you know, caregiving experience, which is burdensome all around.
Yeah, it's actually scary, especially when you're looking at it from the caregiving standpoint. Everybody needs help in this area, white, black or brown, it doesn't matter. And for somebody to have to layer that challenges with something else above and beyond what they're dealing with, it's quite unfortunate. I know that you mentioned that generally they need to go in prepared in order to be able to mitigate this. Go in prepared, do your homework, get more information. But Theron, think about that. Your aunt that you were describing a few minutes ago that said, just leave it alone, don't touch it. How do you communicate this to that population and even others? It doesn't have to be that population alone. It could be anybody. It's like, look, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to be stigmatized. How do we present this to them in such a way that they'll know that it has to be done? That's the only way you can get the best for your family.
You know, one of the things is we just have to make sure we stay in their ear, letting them know that this is the way you should go. I'm not going to say it's the only way, but I would say that this is a good way, making sure that you come in and you're prepared. And I just see that we have to just, again, stay in their ear and also share our own experiences. You know, many times I think as Black people, we're very private. And we need to share our experiences. You know, hey, this is what I did and this is the outcome I got. Even if it was good or if it was bad, like we need to share that. We need to have those conversations because I think through that people learn and then they reflect on, oh, well, if I was to do this, would this happen? You know, and I think that's across all generations. We need to kind of share that experience. And I'll just put a plug in for the Caregiving While Black course. I mentioned it earlier, but that is the whole goal is we want to equip the Black caregivers that are out there. We want to equip you all with the resources, the tools, the knowledge that you need so you can be prepared to navigate this journey as a caregiver. And so that's navigating the healthcare system. That's sometimes it's not even about the healthcare system. How about it's about managing just everyday life, right? How, when we go to the grocery store, I mean, just going anywhere, we have different challenges than other people. And so it is just being ready. You know, we have one male caregiver. I never thought about this until he shared this. Many of us, we just go to the grocery store. We may not think nothing of it, but he's a male caregiver for his wife who has FTD, frontal temporal dementia. You wouldn't even know until someone gives you a history behind. That's why many people with FTD end up in jail because they're younger, and most people think that dementia occurs later in life, where within this dementia, there's certain behaviors that she can exhibit, right? And that's just comes out the blue, cannot control for. And so at any given time, he can be in the grocery store and she can look at him and say, why are you touching me? Who are you? Get away and start hitting him. As a Black man, no one's going to ask any questions, right? They're just going to grab him. So this is something when he shared this with me, I was like, wow, this is something we don't think about. And again, this is being a caregiver, being Black in America, what you face. So it's not just about the healthcare system. It is just navigating everyday life as a Black caregiver.
That was just so sad. And I'm visualizing what you described. Knowledge is so powerful. The more we know about this, the better. We can't make any assumptions at all. So let me ask you, so some of the recommendations you're making, do you see them actually contributing to mitigating systemic racism as a whole? Because that's the big elephant in the room that's impacting every field, every level, every Black person. Doesn't matter, it's impacting us. Do you see some of this helping to mitigate that?
I think that in order to actually make the systemic change, you have to intervene not on the caregiver's end. You have to go to the other side, which is the provider and the organization. And this is what I emphasize, particularly when I'm speaking about health literacy, is because the approach is always at the individual. How do we get individuals to be more health literate, to do all these things? But it doesn't do any good if the provider or the healthcare organization that they're interacting with doesn't put different structures in place to meet them where they are. It doesn't do no good to have these kinds of conversations and things with just the caregivers themselves if the providers who are perpetuating it or the organization, if they're not getting the same information and the tools and the training in order to be able to, you know, everybody come together. And I think taking it one step further, especially from when my experiences of lecturing in front of pre-licensure students, is that oftentimes when you do even educate the providers or the healthcare organization, it's too late. They're very set in their ways. They have a way of doing things. And I think that to take it one step further, it's best to bring this information before they even become clinicians and licensed clinicians. And I think that it would be a little bit more effective because, and I'm not a nurse. So although I'm, you know, getting my doctorate in nursing science, I'm interdisciplinary. And so my background is in public health. And so I've come in and looked at nursing education. And I think that there is a lot of holes and a lot of things that are not being emphasized. And that's very dangerous. And that's being carried into the clinical space. And so, you know, I think personally that structural change is going to start even before they get that license. When they're in the simulation lab, when they, you know, are in the classroom. And this isn't just nurses. This is PAs. This is med students, because there's a lot of holes there also with medical education. And so I think, you know, and that's on the provider side. And then when it comes to the organization, a lot of that, you know, is leadership buy-in, from what I've come to experience, is that you might have a lot of ideas and ways to change this, that, and the third, but if you can't get leadership to buy in and to disperse all throughout, things are just going to end up staying exactly the way they are. So.
Preach, soon to be Dr. Alexander. That was on point.
I absolutely hear you. Let me ask you both. Is there anything you would like to share that I've not asked you? It's burning. You want this information to go out. You want everybody to know about this. Go ahead, please.
No, I think for me, I'm just glad that we were able to come back and to have this part two. So I think I've been able to share, and we've covered the topics that we weren't able to cover in part one. So I'm just glad. Thank you so much for having me back. And I just want to plug the number in. Anybody that wants to take the Caregiving While Black course, 678-723-8188. You can call or text that number, and we'll be glad to help you to be part of that course and study. Karen?
Yes, definitely second that. It's a wonderful, very effective course. So please call that number. Or if you know somebody who could benefit that course, please share it with them. I thought that this was a really great discussion. And it's only the beginning. You know, there's so much, I think, else to talk about. And this is a really heavy topic. And I would also say that, you know, when it comes to equity, diversity, equity, and inclusion, I would challenge people to be a little bit more specific. So when it comes to issues of diversity, equity, inclusion, to be direct and speak on what those specific issues are. And let us please stop using these words as just safe words, and really speak on the true issues that are behind these words.
Thank you so much. both of you. I really appreciate you for joining me today. It's truly a pleasure hearing your insight on how we can continue to reimagine Black relations. And to all our listeners, don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues and encourage them to subscribe on yourblackmatters.com. Also, if you have any feedback, please email me at francesca@yourblackmatters.com. Thank you again, Farron and Kara, for your contribution to the history we're making together. I'm excited to be a part of it. God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners, may God bless you as well. And may the Lord bless the United States of America. See you next time. Bye-bye.